rocking. Are you having a party? I mean, this is awesome.
I was just here last night.
Yeah. And then you're on the phone with us today.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, I'm part of the clique now, man.
Yeah.
I'm part of the clique. What's going on? This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And we're back for another 2 hours of mayhem.
It's gonna be totally awesome because we have a special guest.
Yes, we have Tamara Thorne.
Tamara Thorne. She's
gonna be here in a little while.
She's an author and a ghost hunter herself.
Yeah, she's an excellent author too, as we found out before the show.
Yeah, we were looking through the book.
Yeah, but she a complimentary book that was sent to us.
Yeah, this is really cool. You know, okay, if you become like really famous, you know, ZPR hosts and stuff.
Yeah, like we are.
Yeah, you get like free stuff. So we got a book, we got a box of stuff that we're trying to give away from stagehandtools.com.
And we have just stacks of stuff all over the place.
And stuff that just gets sent to us. Some chick emailed us or something just the other day and said, oh, what's your address? Because I got to send you some stuff. And I'm like, oh, all right, you know.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
And we got this in the mail about a week and a half ago. And,
she's become Scott L's favorite telephone person. I was just like chatting all the time, I guess. Because every time I talk to you, you're like, oh, yeah, I was talking to Tamara and this and that. And I'm like, gosh, she sounds really cool.
Oh, she's very cool, man.
I can't wait to talk to her on the phone with you know, live with everybody.
Yeah.
Do you know this weekend is the ZPR Summer Jam?
No, I didn't know that.
In case
what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Awesome stuff.
Sarcastic remarks.
We had a blast. Now this of course is Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
So this is a little different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to tone it down and do an actual talk show. But but it's been a party in the ZPR chat room. It's been a party on the ZPR radio. It's been all live programming for ZPR. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get donations. If you get a chance, Ghostly Talk is live 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday night. So if you're hearing this at any other time, that means it's a replay or an archive. It's not too late.
No, it's not.
Because ZPR needs support. They need you to show your support. If you get a chance, go to www.zprradio.com, find that donate button, and click on it. Now, if you are listening to us live, get in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the same site, zprradio.com, click on interact, go down to chat, and get in the chat room. I mean, there's tons and tons of people, especially this weekend. Do you know who popped in just before we went on the air?
Who?
Steve. He went out with us on Friday night ghost hunting. So Steve is in the chat room. Bonnie's in the chat room. Rez, of course, and RF Burns, who's running the whole place. Oh, my gosh. There's tons of people. I can't even go through all this. Let's see. Nexus Domain, Steve Phobos, Gary from the Ohio State Reformatory.
Oh, he's back?
Yep, mrps.org.
Check that out.
And Max, of course, J. Moog, Error in L. I talked with him earlier, but I don't know, like, an actual name. Bonnie, Zanny. Zanny Show Live. We now follow the Zanny Show Live.
Yeah, you know what, Zanny? That just so rocked. You were played in Maiden. And you're like my new best buddy in England. Phobos was my... it's a tough call now, because Phobos... I don't think Phobos digs Maiden at all.
Well, we'll find out, because when Phobos calls...
He's a British band. So yeah. Everybody in Britain should be listening to Iron Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
So, nice work.
And putting it on ZPR, so I think that's awesome stuff.
He beat me out. I don't think I've ever played Iron Maiden on any of our playlists for Ghostly Talk.
I know. He rocks. Yeah. What more can you say?
Exactly.
Now, Will and I, and Bonnie, and Lisa, and Steve, and his wife, and Jeff showed up later. Oh, too cool. Hey, Jeff. And... Jonathan, Miranda, and Crystal. Did we forget anyone? Okay. We all went out ghost hunting.
Mm.
You were at the fireworks.
Oh, yeah. I was babysitting drunks. Fun night.
Whee! But yeah, you were at the fireworks. We went out ghost hunting. It was a marathon session. It was extreme with a capital X. No E at the beginning of extreme. This was X. Ghost hunting. It could be on ESPN 2. we were rocking. We went from cemetery to cemetery to cemetery. Then we, well, then we hung out in Yale for a while. And then, and then we went to yet more cemeteries. One of them, you have to go down this embankment and then over this bridge. And that's where all the bugs are. So what you do is you go into this swarm of bugs, and then they attack you because you're a warm-blooded animal. And, but nonetheless, Bonnie got some awesome photos. I took a few photos, and there was just, I mean, everybody was taking photos. Jonathan had a camcorder going. We've got to review all the tape yet. It was extreme ghost hunting. This was like the good old days of just last year.
Yeah.
And it's all beginning again as the weather finally gets to ghost hunting standards.
Well, yeah, it's tolerable now. It is around 95,000 degrees outside with a humidity factor of 150%.
Right, and the opposite. It's not negative 14 with a wind chill of negative 24. You know,
no, we just get storms that come through and brown out the house like four or five times in a row.
That was a trip last night during our first Summer Jam session.
Doug blew his top. It was awesome.
Don't tell anyone.
It was awesome. I loved it, man.
Don't tell anyone.
Embrace your anger, man. Embrace your anger, brother. I enjoyed it.
I was, oh my gosh. I was like, oh, yeah, we're waiting for our cues, and then...
Yeah, on the dot of 7:30, the storm decided to roll through.
Yeah, I was in the chat room. I'm waiting our cue, and then I hit enter, and sure enough, right then...
And we get a thing through the head. Yeah. Through the headphones. Like, that don't sound good, man. That sounds like something's broken. And something was broken.
And that was the power being broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was something. But Murphy was here.
Murphy likes to stop by every once in a while.
I think we need a sign out front that says just Murphy was here, and everyone would know where the Haunted Basement Studios are then. Because, you know, all you gotta do is follow Murphy, and he ends up here.
Hopefully it won't happen. Well, it looks pretty good outside right now.
Yeah, and the ice cream lady was already by.
Yeah.
I heard her as you were getting...
It was an ice cream man last night. Now, when I pulled up last night to do our broadcast...
Really?
The ice cream truck was right in front of me. I was tempted to walk up there with a dollar in my hand.
Yeah?
And I looked and I saw it was a guy. I'm like, oh, maybe that's her husband.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's a joint venture. Maybe they're like, you know, they're independent business people and they own like maybe a couple of ice cream trucks.
And then
they take routes.
They,
you know,
switch up and on the routes.
Yeah. You know? So maybe, you know, there might be two people coming down here for an interview instead of one now.
Well, the thing is, if you were an ice cream person, okay, wouldn't you think that you would want to, like, look like you're enjoying yourself? Because she doesn't sometimes look like she's enjoying herself.
No, the last time she drove by, she had a scowl on her face.
Yeah, she looks like she'd scare the kids more than anything.
Well, I guess
we'll have to ask her about that.
I think it'd be a fun job.
Personally. I think so, too.
But if you do it for, like, 10 years, it might not be the most desirable position as opposed to other positions you could have in life.
Yeah, like CEO or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that'd be...
retired.
You go to your 20-year reunion, you know, oh, yes, I'm vice president of sales for Visteon Automotive Products. And what are you doing, sir? I drive an ice cream truck.
That could be.
Great. But if you own it, though, it's your business.
Hey, if it's your business, then you're a small business owner.
I know a guy that actually went out and did that for a while.
Yeah?
He bought his own truck, and he did it for a while.
How did he do, like, was it a financial success, or was it, like,
no.
Get you by?
No. He didn't do very well.
Not even get you by?
He didn't do very well. Because this particular person was not, he didn't have a lot of business sense. And, I mean, I sat down with him, and he's like, yeah, I want to buy an ice cream truck, man. I'm like... That sounds like a lot of fun, you know, but, you know, you better sit down and figure out you better figure out a break-even analysis after your investment, you know, and I'm throwing all these terms and stuff going, you know, this is what you're going to need to do in order to make money. I mean, you're not going to make money for a few years anyways. You're probably going to be just working to pay your bills.
If you
want to do this, then, you know, you're probably going to be on the road for, like, you know, 6-7 hours a day. Going all over town.
And then gas and maintenance and,
oh, yeah. There's
and
a lot
stock
to it.
And inventory.
Yeah, there's
and,
a lot to it.
And then when disasters happen and ice cream melts, you've got to restock. And
yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of work to it.
Yeah, he only did it for a couple months and he gave up. He couldn't. He's like, I can't hack it, man. I just can't do this.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
he tried.
Hey, it's more than a lot of people do.
I'm like, you know, if you get an ice cream truck, I think, you know, well, the only one I ever saw them do that for was on Friday, where they had, like, the gold Dana wheels on it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had an ice cream truck, that thing would be decked out. I mean, you have Motley Crue blasting, like, at 11 down the street.
Even it wouldn't be Home on the Range.
No, it's just, ding, yeah, it's just Motley
ding,
Crue.
Ding, ding,
ding. just try to find some, like, real cheesy Wolf Rock.
All right, let me try.
You gotta cup the, you're cupping the microphone. Yeah,
that's
it.
That's
how you do it, dude. You gotta be just one step above a belch.
I'll work on it. You know, unfortunately, you know, we had started that contest. Unfortunately, I gave away.
Yeah, you gave it away. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Rich pummeled me about the head with a fish or something in the room. I don't remember what exactly. But,
okay.
Yeah, but I ended up, he threatened to send a ghost up here.
Bring it.
He says, I'm going to send a ghost up there if you don't tell me. And I said, well.
Well, considering what we're doing here, you'd be helping us out.
Yeah, I said, well, send the ghost and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said, yeah, here you go. And I
ghost.
Told him, and, yeah. So we're expecting.
You shook
a
me
ghost.
All night long.
We're expecting a ghost. And yes, that was.
That's a song. It's out.
You
it's
shook
out
me
now.
All night long. It was a cover.
That's how it went. That was the hook.
That was about it, too. It sounded like that. Do you know, I wonder what that sounds like on the other side. Not the other side.
A garbled
like,
mess,
know, but I mean
probably.
On the other side of the 24-bit stream.
I don't
you know?
Think that's probably why we didn't get as many, like a variety of calls like I was expecting to get, because maybe it just sounded like a garbled mess on
yeah,
the
line. Yeah, I can imagine. Because internet radio is really fun, but it, you know.
It's
you
fun just, when you're talking.
Yeah.
It's not fun when you're blaring a death metal cover of an AC/DC song on 11, trying to get people to guess who it is.
It was really cool. We had a lot of fun doing that.
But Rich actually had, he guessed, he had some very good guesses, though. He had the band licked.
Yeah, he was right in there.
AC/DC, but he just couldn't figure out what song it was.
Yeah, well, they did, like, what, 24 albums or something, so it's like,
yeah. They're still doing albums.
Yeah, they're still, yeah, I know.
They've been living off the same, like, three chord combination for, like, the last 30 years, but they still rule.
Call me, AC/DC.
Yeah, Angus Young, my friend. Call me.
Ring in. But, yeah, so what else are we going to talk about? Because there was so much, and now, of course, my mind has gone blank. I did, well, okay, let's talk about this weekend.
Okay.
Starting Friday night, there was the premiere of Lakota's Paranormal X Radio, which I didn't get to hear because I was on that marathon ghost hunting session, but from what I heard, it rocked.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, In Orbit Radio. Then Saturday, of course, we started the ZPR Summer Jam, which I was a part of, and so were you. And it was, you know, all live programming on ZPR from noon until, well, until it stopped. It just went on and on and on. And Max resurrected the Alpha Show for us that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, you and I did a segment of Summer Jam. And then after that was an insanely wonderful Martian Revelation.
I so wanted to go home and listen to that.
You were up 30 hours.
I actually got on the computer when I got home.
Yeah?
Checked the mail, did the usual routine, and I just kind of like looked up and I was like, okay, the screen is getting blurry. That's it, my eyes. I was like on a hunger strike, man. I was just getting weak. I'm like, that's it, I'm done, man. I got, you know, go to bed, so I wouldn't beat the dogs up for a few minutes and I went to bed.
Well, I listened to the Martian Revelation. It was... That had to be... Now, Gary, that's the guy who does Martian Revelation, is always impressive. Last night, though, he had some kind of three-way call going with two guests, and it was just phenomenal. And if you've ever heard Martian Revelation, it's constant knowledge and constant... It's just like, bam, 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 bam. All this stuff.
Wait, is it a bunch of filler like our show is?
Well, we get to talk. Well, see, we get 2 hours, and we know pretty much how we want to format it. We say, okay, the first half hour is blah, 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 lots of fun, and we're going to chit-chat. And,
yeah.
And if we're bringing up a pretty heavy topic, we get definitions in, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we have, you know, that's our format. The first half hour is that kind of stuff. The next hour or so is calls and the information, or in this case, an interview. So, you know, we've got our format. But our show is a lot faster than a lot of other shows.
Yeah, well, the rumor's going around, though, that we're going towards sex talk, though.
That's the rumor now.
The rumor's going around now. That's what I heard about today.
I heard that. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to hit the bookstores.
Yeah, because I have no idea.
I'm, you know, they say it's like riding a bicycle, but I... it's been a long time. I think I gotta get to the stores and get me some of them pop-up books.
Oh. Dude, I cannot...
if you want
pop-up
to donate.
Books.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's big.
No, that's a pop-up book. That's different. Okay.
There's got... You know, somewhere on this planet, there's some nutbag. You know, any Brown Bagot or Victoria's Secret or wherever, you know, like Nord Leather, like they got here, there's got to be a pop-up book.
Oh,
like
undoubtedly.
A porn pop-up book for the young folks.
Undoubtedly.
Oh, God.
I mean...
I'd be afraid to turn each page, literally, just like cringing.
Oh, it would be scary. Yeah.
I wouldn't lick my fingers either.
Like, I think I want to see the next page.
Never lick your fingers either. I mean, you know, you lick your finger, no, don't do that either.
No.
Man. You don't know where that book's come from.
But yeah, I have to say, with all this sleep deprivation that both of us have been going through, because remember a couple weeks ago I had that server outage.
Oh, you were a shot.
I was. Thanks. I looked like it.
You were. No, you were a wreck. And that's not, no offense, you were a wreck.
But I saved the server, you know.
Hey.
And then, so I had that going, plus before that was my project, and still the project continues, but the... You know, so all the sleep deprivation that I've been getting, and then you got a nice dose of it.
That was self-inflicted, though.
Yeah.
You know, I've been warning about it for the last 2 days, and I shouldn't be doing that, because it was self-inflicted. I could have went to bed, but I didn't. So, you know, I shouldn't be complaining in the first place.
Well, your life has to have a balance. And that's, oh my God, I just got serious.
But I had six cups of coffee this morning.
Your life has to have a balance. So you've got to have the insane amount of fun and partying,
yeah,
along with the serious. And, well, that's how Ghostly Talk is. That's
absolutely
how this particular
show
is.
That's how we live our lives.
Yeah,
man.
We've got this first half hour where we get to, you know, talk and share of ourselves with everybody.
Yeah.
And then after that comes serious business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people expect that, want that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least nobody's emailed and said, oh, my God. Why do you do the first half hour? Stop it.
Well, those are my favorite kind of people. They're people that, you know, they... You know, when it's not, they're fun when it's time to be fun, obviously.
And then serious.
And they're the funnest when it comes to that.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes time to work, it's like, let's take care of business and then we have fun.
Right.
That's how I've always modeled my life. But, you know, I had too much fun that night and, yeah, I paid for it, so.
Okay, there's one question that I'm going to clue you in right now. I'm going to ask Tamara, is it Tamara or Tamara? Tamara.
I just called her Tamara.
Tamara? Okay. I'm going to ask her for if she's ever...
Call her T. We'll call her T. What up, T? What up, T? T-T.
Yo, Lady T.
What's up, T?
What up?
She'd be like, what? I'm like, is this Ghost? No, I don't know you guys. Goodbye. Click. What's your number?
Like,
quick.
And the summer jam continues.
Okay, fine. But find something. Get a book. Anything. I don't care. I'm going to read out of a book for an hour and a half. I don't care.
But I'm going to ask her a question.
Oh, no.
I'm going to ask her if she's ever been... There's this website.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not bad. It's called The Late Late Show. I think it's .org.
We've talked about that show before.
Well, it's not a show. It's a magazine, actually.
The Late Late Show.
The Late Late Show.
I thought that was a talk show.
No, that's a different one. That's... Oh,
there was something with a similar name.
Yeah, there's something with a similar name, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Late Late Show. I think it's .org, but it could be .com. I'd have to check, and you know, I'm too lazy. We have a listener who writes for that. It's a magazine, and it's scary stories.
Oh, wow.
What it is. It's all little it's short scary stories, and it's a magazine, and they publish it like I think 4 times a year. And so so we have a listener who writes for that. Well, that impresses me to no end. Well, I went and read his, you know, piece that he had written for that. Good stuff. So that's why I wanted to ask her. You know, has she found stuff like that, or what would she say? Because she's a published author. You know, obviously paperback books and stuff. What kind of advice would she give folks like our listener?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you who it is. It's Brian Roberts.
Okay.
So, and he, you know, what would she say to him? You know, I mean, he's out there. He's writing, and we'll see what she has to say.
Hey, speaking of ghost stories.
Yeah?
You want to tell a ghost story?
No, but you can.
Well, no, do you want to?
Oh, okay.
This is a team effort, you know.
Oh.
You know, we do both talk on this show.
I'm getting my contract out. I gotta.
I gotta review this. I'm calling the lawyer over right now.
Yeah, what do we got?
Well, you were talking about telling ghost stories, and I just noticed. I remember I always bring this book with me every week in case we need, you know, just to fill something in.
Well, we don't have to fill anything in. I could talk for another hour. But...
Well, no, there's actually a lot of cool stories in this book. I picked this up during Christmas, actually.
Oh, with your Christmas buying bin.
Yeah, that was when I went. Yeah, I went on a bender. I went on a bender at Borders Books, and that credit card was smoking by the end of that day. This book's called "I Never Believed in Ghosts Until."
Oh,
and it's 100 real-life encounters. It was collected by the editors of USA Weekend.
Oh, cool. All right.
So it's kind of neat. The one I'm just kind of grazing through the table of contents, and I saw one called The Floating Head.
Oh, okay. Now that's
like,
really good.
It's nice and short, too.
This will help like set the scene for Tamara, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I'll read this. I'll probably butcher it, but...
This is not hers, but this
is
spooky enough to hopefully...
We're going to read some stuff from Tamara's book, though, later on.
We
found some real interesting stuff that we need to discuss with Tamara on the air.
We really, really have to ask her about that part, yeah.
All right, so...
This is going to set the scene because this is spooky. This is going to be fun. What do we got?
Okay, called The Floating Head. I always say it like that, people. The Floating Head.
Let me try. The Floating Head.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. You always hit the D on the end. The Floating Head.
Head.
Head. By Lucille Chiappina. Good Italian girl.
I think we'll have to ask her on once, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Lucille, we read your one-page story.
We want you on the air.
Yeah. The scene is the small town where I grew up. We had never owned our own home, so moving from time to time was part of our family pattern. When I was 12, we lived adjacent to a huge cemetery. Strangely, nothing ever happened there. At one point, when I was older, we once again found reason to switch residences. The new apartment close to the downtown area was the first floor of an old mansion. It boasted an enormous front parlor with a floor-to-ceiling bay windows, and this room served as my bedroom. Without question, as I was the only girl in the family, the best bedroom was always mine. Why is that?
I know, I don't get that either. Do you know women also have, like, couches in the bathrooms and stuff? And, you know, all right, go ahead.
Couches in the bathrooms?
Well, there was one.
That's class, man.
Do you remember the City Club? No, that was not class. The City
Club. Oh, they have couches in the bathroom.
They always left the doors for the bathrooms wide open.
Yeah.
You could see the women. They're all in there sitting on the couch and smoking and partying and, you know, doing makeup and stuff like that.
And there's this guy standing outside there drooling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Me.
Okay, so she always had the best bedroom. In this apartment, my two brothers shared one of two small bedrooms. So the guy's getting the short end again.
Of course.
My parents shared the other. I was to pay the price for being so spoiled. Ooh. We had not lived there long before discovering that we had acquired a very abusive landlord, who unfortunately also had the apartment over us. My parents, realizing that moving there had been a mistake, began talk of packing up once again. One of our relatives got us a place in a building that he lived in, but we could not move in right away. My room unnerved me a bit. Although I felt queenly in this spaciousness, it was in an area by itself, separated from the rest of the bedrooms by a large living room and also a long hallway.
Okay, wait. Now she's moved to another...
No, they haven't moved yet.
Oh, okay.
They're
going
to move, but they have to wait for a while.
All right, okay.
Each night, I would turn off my lamp by my bed, scan the black doorway which faced me, and pull the covers over my head. We've all done that.
Oh, yeah.
One night, I awoke from a deep sleep with a start. One night, I awoke from a deep sleep with a start.
That means she suddenly awoke.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
There at the upper part of the pitch black doorway hung a head of a man. Nobody, just a head. Just a head.
A head of a man.
I was awake, and it did not go away. I can still describe the exact picture. The head was that of an old man. His face was round, his hair was receded, and he boasted a huge white mustache. His head is Colonel Sanders. His face was round. His what the hell am I reading? His head was illuminated by something that was bright red, as though it was lit up from behind by fire. He was smiling at me. The head just stayed there, and I froze. My trembling hand reached for the light, and the brightness of the room, he was gone. After a while, I raised all the blinds in the bay windows and turned off the light. The street lights filled the room, and I pulled the blankets tight about me and somehow went back to sleep. But my visions were not easily put to rest. Sometime thereafter, I awoke again. I looked up, and there, bending over me, was a very heavy-set older woman. She was staring down at me in a very curious way, as though she did not know me. My hand went up for the lamp. I felt it was going right through her.
I like the bit about the head.
I slept no more, you think? The light went out no more. And I never slept in that room again. I stayed with an aunt.
Classic.
Until we finally moved. My mother told me that she was greatly relieved herself that we were moving out because I had described in perfect detail the older couple that when she was a girl was known to live there.
Wow.
According to her beliefs, the old folks had come to search for their daughter, of which they had one, to ask for prayers. Well, for those who may believe even faintly in hell, the man's face had been lit by fire. Good night.
Freaky.
Pretty freaky.
It's not that. The head.
The head.
Of a man.
The head.
I mean, that, now.
Oh, you wake up. You wake up and see a head in front of you. You're gonna. Yeah.
Of course, this is.
Soil those sheets.
Yeah.
I would.
This is pretty, you know, I mean, it is pretty dramatized, and we you know, had a little fun with it, but the thing is, as the story goes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell you what, let's take a break, let's get Tamara on the phone.
Yeah.
And see what we can do about the interview portion. Tamara Thorne coming up.
Yeah.
She's an author, she wrote The Forgotten.
That's one of the books she sent us. She actually has a lot of stuff out.
Yeah, we've got The Forgotten by Tamara Thorne, and she's also a ghost hunter.
So we'll be right back, get some pop or whatever your beverage of choice is, and we'll talk to you in a minute.
Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in the sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
I'm bored.
Yes, we are.
We are so lucky. We get these awesome guests, and today we have Tamara Thorne.
Tamara Thorne is on the mic.
Yeah, and we're
Tamara Thorne's in the house, yo.
She's in the house. And tell us a little bit about Tamara first, Scott, and then we'll bring her on and we'll ask her some cool questions.
All right, yeah. Tamara Thorne may be the only popular horror author who can truthfully claim the occupation ghost hunter on her resume. She began her career as a freelance journalist specializing... You know, I should really, like, fit the theme of this. She began her career as a freelance journalist specializing in investigation of hauntings in her native state of California. Do I sound like Barry White now?
Well, you sound like something, all right.
She's even laughing.
Yeah.
Quiet, camera! Be quiet!
Yeah, we're still doing the bio.
We're trying to introduce you! Later, turning to fiction, she has written 10 novels of supernatural horror, including Candle Bay, Bad Things, and Moonfall. This summer, Pinnacle Books will release The Sorority as a 3-part serial novel. Yeah, you can kill the sexy music.
Yeah,
I think we just like killed that.
We totally died. So let's
kill that bit. We killed the bit.
That was not funny. So.
Tamara Thorne served as treasurer of the HWA, Horror Writers of America. And has shown many luminaries of this genre, including Robert McMahon, who wrote Swan Song, Chelsea Quinn Yarbrough, who wrote Hotel Transylvania,
oh my gosh.
And Robert Block, who wrote Psycho.
Oh my gosh.
So Tamara, we'd like to welcome you to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Pretty toasty. Hey!
Our sound engineer is
You can't hear the drops, unfortunately. We're dropping stuff here and... He just played applause for you, so we can.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool bio.
Well, when I was treasurer, I was writing as Chris Curry. I switched names.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. In case anybody I know is listening, I haven't been at HWA since I've been Tamara.
Uh huh.
Oh, okay.
Well, still, I mean, I think that's totally cool. How did you get into into writing, and then I have to ask you about ghost hunting, and oh, this show's going to go on for hours. first about the writing, is that, what's your passion? Your passion is writing, right?
Yeah, writing and ghosts, I'd say, and slapstick humor, and farts, and...
Oh, really, Tamara?
Oh, Will was having some...
Yeah, you should have been here a little while ago.
Yeah, you'd be absolutely... rolling on the floor.
Yeah, we had to evacuate the Haunted Basement studio for a few minutes.
Evacuating.
We actually had to do a controlled burn on the table we usually use. It was pretty rough for a few minutes.
But so you've got all these. Now, these, so some of them, at least, are not hobbies anymore. I mean, you're published.
Oh, yeah, for a decade.
Dang. How did you get into the horror genre?
I think I was born that way.
Yeah?
When I was very little, I think from the time I got home from the hospital, my mother read to me all the Oz books and all that stuff. And she didn't really like kids' books, so she'd read to me things that interested her. And it just, I got hooked on the ghost side of things and started collecting books probably about first grade and telling kids stories, you know, seeing if I could scare them. And it just never went away. And then I think when I was 11, I found The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
Oh, wow.
That was, okay, the science fiction is cool, but this is cooler.
But that really, really gives you a hook, right? I mean, it's like awesome stuff.
Oh, it is. And when I was 11, I didn't know it was so sexual either, so I took it all literally, and it was even better then.
Oh, that's too cool. Well, ghost hunting. Brief overview really quick, because we're just doing like the little introductions right now, and then we'll get into the meat stuff, you know. Ghost hunting. How? Why? Where? It's what I do. It's what Scott does. We want to know about your side of it. What's up with ghost hunting?
Well, writing is a really good excuse to do it, you know, semi-professionally, but I've always just gone to places that are known to have haunts or people think are strange, and nowadays I go to places and, you know, haunted hotels and reserve the rooms and get the grand tours and all kinds of things like that, and we mainly take cameras. We aren't, you know, terribly scientific about it, but, you know, when you put your hand in a cold spot, you know it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of fun. And I use it as research, and I use it a lot as background in books. And I'm going to do a nonfiction one that's not going to be about Winchester House or the Myrtles. Anything like that, it's going to be all new and ever so exciting.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, I find, you know, we found this out, and it was very nice to find this out, actually, that, you know, when you're part of the media, when you're working in the media, whether you're writing books or you're doing radio shows or whatnot, you tend to get these little, I mean, you if you go to a hotel, for example, go, yeah, I'm writing a book about this, you know, about this particular hotel, or it's going to be part of the book, for example. I want to stay there for one night and just get some ideas. Did they take good care of you? That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they take real good care of you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really good. I mean,
suddenly you have access to things like kitchens and stuff like that. Yeah. And then you get to talk to the staff and find out, you know, what their stories. And some of them have, you know, oh, there's nothing. I don't know, but I've heard a story.
Yeah.
And then there's others, oh, my gosh, I was on the third floor. You know, so you get the difference.
The infamous third floor. I've been there.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're there's a haunted hotel here in Michigan called the Holly Hotel. It's in amazingly Holly, Michigan.
Imagine that.
That's on my list. I'm going there because they do seances and all kinds of stuff. They really play it up, you know, in the fall. And that's on my list. I'm going there. I'm renting the room. I'm doing the whole thing. So, I mean, I know what you mean. Is it like really cool? I mean, have you been to the hotels that you wanted to go to yet, or is this a...
Not all of them.
Yeah?
I just came from one that I'm using for the book after next, the one I'm just starting to write right now. And it's in the Southwest, and it's incredibly haunted. It's not real well known. I'm not supposed to give a lot of details.
That's okay. I'll wait for the book. You know me. Well, you don't know me, but everyone else knows me, and I'll wait for it because I like that suspense.
No, and I'm just curious too concerning your writing. I mean, feel free to tell me to shut up any time if you want. But I mean, I know, you know, I'm a musician myself, and so I create too. But I've never really talked to, honestly, until I talked to you, I've never really talked to a published author.
That's not true. We have Michelle White.
But Tamara has, she's been doing this for over 10 years. She's got numerous books out.
Yeah.
And you know, you've been doing this for so long, and obviously you're working on books that are probably not going to be going out for a couple of years. Do you, like, have a certain, like, do you have a method you approach to start writing a book, or, you know, do you have, like, a certain, like, how do I say, like, ritual, routine you do, or, like, for example, do you, like, turn all the lights off and, like, put candles up everywhere or something like that? I mean, do you...
Oh, that would light the cats on fire.
Okay, well, whatever you need to do to get the mood going, I guess.
I mean, do you have a, I mean, you feel, if you don't want to talk about that, it's fine. I'm just curious.
Oh, I'll talk about
that
almost.
So I think he's asking, how do you get your inspiration?
Yeah.
Usually it's something that has been sitting in my brain for years, and it just suddenly kind of
surfaces.
It bursts out and wants to be heard.
Or the book that's coming out next year, Thunder Road, the character, the main character, he walked around in my head with a name and everything but no book for about 3 years, and then just suddenly he had a book. And he just waited. That sounds so schizophrenic, but...
No, that's pretty cool. But I know what you mean, because I have articles floating around in my head that I haven't written yet, so...
Yeah, we do writing some... We don't write books, but we write columns and stuff for publications.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's things like... like the New Scientist newsletter and magazine. I see little things every week in the science aspects, you know, this, that, and the other, and I tend to grab the articles and hang on to them and then turn them into fiction. The old Mark Twain quote is my favorite. Get the facts first and distort them as much as you please.
That's so cool. So what's the count? How many books are actually out there now just add them up, even your other names.
Let's see, my other name, two of them are actually, Thunder Road is from my other name, but it'll be out as Tamara Thorne. And Bad Things was a Chris Curry book that was used to be called Panic. The rest are, let's see, Haunted Moonfall, this is hard.
Oh my God.
Eternity.
10 years worth of... hard work.
Yeah.
And I asked her to summarize.
Yeah, summarize it in 2 minutes,
yeah,
please.
Quick.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
No, I like to either go for science-y stuff or a combination, and sometimes I do genre horror, you know, like the sorority or genre. It's total out-and-out goofy.
Well, yeah, you have the sorority coming out, and it's a three-book series you got coming out.
Yeah, it's a serial novel. Yeah, it's one big book. It's it's like The Lord of the Rings, only goofy.
Well, yeah, the first installment came out it came out this month, June 2003, it says here.
Yeah, and Mary Lynn, the second one, just came out. It's sort of, Monty Python and the Holy Grail meets Ghost Story meets Animal House.
Oh,
well, I love Animal House. That's like my favorite comedy of all time.
Oh, when Kevin Bacon gets the weenie. Original Lampoon, I forget.
No, that was Porky. I think that was Porky's.
Porky's, yeah.
That was,
yeah.
No, I know what you're talking. You sicko. You're going to bring it up on the air.
Why not?
I'm always looking for material.
Porky, that was Porky's, but Animal House genius in its own right. Brilliant, funny movie. And then there's a third installment also called Samantha that's going to be coming out. It says here August 2003.
Yeah.
So that's well on its way to being surfaced also. So that's three books right there. I mean, that must have been a lot of writing. That's a lot of time, obviously.
That's a lot of writing.
Hell no, I wrote it in about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Man.
I was a little behind.
Well, when you go out and about, because you're for this upcoming one that you're doing research for, do you find it interesting to talk to the different people and stuff, and what kind of stuff do you get from the people? I mean, do they just compliment what you already dream of, or do they supply it? I mean, how does it work when you talk to the people at these hotels and the different places that you're visiting?
Well, I take the journalistic approach. I don't tell them what I'm dreaming up. I just listen to them tell me stories. And some people are very close mouthed. Other people seek me out in private, and other people take me all over the place. And the hotel I'm going to use pretty close to reality this time. The owner was heavy into the mechanical aspects of how everything worked, so I got a whole lot of that. And then from his employees, I got a lot of ghost stories too. And our room was the most haunted. But nothing much happened. There were a few little cold spots, but one night, a guy in another room ended up in the lobby the rest of the night after he kept hearing his voice being yelled, whisper yelled, you know, very loud, in his ear. And he didn't know that was one of the common things that happens there. And they don't really advertise the hotel as haunted. And, I wished I'd known. I would have taken that room so fast.
Well, sir, if you're not using your room, well, do you get scared?
Not if I have an audience. No, I generally don't. I probably really do need an audience.
Yeah.
To show off for. One time I had a poltergeist attack, and it was fueled by a friend who was kind of mixed up about whether she wanted to leave her husband or not, and she was good at fueling things.
How old was she, if I may ask, at that time?
30s.
30s, really?
Yeah. And as a pubescent kid, she told me she had been able to make lamps jiggle and things like that.
Oh, wow.
But I'd take her with me to places, and stuff would always happen if she was around. But I was helping her move out, but she was torn, nice house and everything. And the poltergeist, this thing was haunted and had a poltergeist. It was just great.
And it was awesome.
It was. Ooh. And it started attacking, and it was just like in Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, when Sam Raimi does the camera thing through the woods, and you hear that whoosh noise, and it's like the air, an airplane taking off.
Yeah, I remember that scene exactly, what you're talking about.
Yeah, it felt and sounded like that, and I was so jazzed, and then every time it would get very close, it would make the hair stand on end, you know, kind of static, nuts here. My instant response was to start cussing my tail off, and it would back off every time. And at one point, it piled a bunch of cushions in the middle of the room, and that was the very best of all.
Well, yeah.
You didn't go groovy or anything like that, did you?
Groovy.
Like Bruce. Well, that's what Bruce Campbell says in the movie. You remember that? You remember that, don't you, Tamara?
Oh, yeah.
When he puts a chainsaw on his arm, he groovy.
Yeah.
You gotta see the flick, though. You gotta see it. It's an excellent film.
Oh,
well,
wonderful.
You know what I did see Return to the Woods, which was the fan film that Cohen Phillips did.
So I
saw that.
Bruce Campbell's actually, he's an actual homeboy here. He's from Ann Arbor.
Oh, really?
Bruce Campbell, yeah, I actually got to meet him one time when I was out in Ann Arbor about 6 years ago. And then the funniest thing, a postcursor to it, is when I was bartending, when I was still in college, we had to take some classes for this organization called TIPS, which was, you know, they would teach you how to, you know, sight out a drunk, basically, and not serve them, right?
Oh, you said TIPS.
TIPS. TIPS. TIPS.
Okay, got it now.
Okay, good.
Okay.
We had to watch these videos, though, right? And I, like I said, I met him a number of years before that, and very personal, very cool guy, and he's a legend in the horror field.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
Bruce Campbell, he's like, everybody worships the guy because he did such a great job with those three movies. But we're watching these movies, though, and all of a sudden, this guy walks into the frame acting like a drunk, and guess who it was?
No way.
Bruce Campbell working for Budweiser. Yeah.
No way.
I about jumped out of my chair screaming and yelling, and people are like, you know, this is a serious class. I'm like, it's Bruce Campbell. He was in Evil Dead. He's the man. Are you kidding me? I met that guy. I got his autograph at home, man. Yeah. Yeah, he's actually from Ann Arbor, and it's funny you brought that up. But you actually experienced, like, the hair standing on end, though?
Oh, lots of times. I think that's just part of the whole electromagnetic thingy. I'm still talking like my sorority girls. generally, a mild cold spot won't do it, but something larger often will. And if you find a hot spot, we get a hot spot in our bedroom, actually, and it's not on the bed.
Oh, no.
What do you mean it's not on the bed?
That's a different kind of book.
Not really. I don't think it's anything paranormal. It's just some sort of anomaly that has to do with plumbing and electricity. But the cats see it. They're aware of it, and that's how we become aware. And they stare at it. The Forgotten has some scenes that mimic what really happens. They turn into little statues. You can pick them up and move them around, but they won't move. They
wow.
don't attack either, and they won't leave the bedroom, but they sit on us all night long and stare at this thing. And if you put your hand into the area, your arm hair will stand up, and you can find a few little hot spots, but it doesn't have any kind of haunted feeling to it.
So there's this anomaly that enchants the cats.
They don't like it. They're afraid of it. And it's a lot. It's something on the same wavelength as the black helicopter business.
Oh, okay, uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes they'll do that, and they stare at the ceiling. If I run outside, I'll see the military helicopter. So it's something, you know, maser, laser, who knows.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
One of those.
Yeah, I cover all that in the Forgotten.
Now, we talked the other night for a few minutes on the phone,
uh-huh.
And you asked me, you're like, you know, well, what's your approach to ghost hunting? You know,
yeah.
You really want to know about that. And I noticed when we discussed your approach, you have a very simple approach. You're not, like you said a few minutes ago, I don't have all this equipment, I don't have all this stuff. You basically said you bring out a camera. And that's, I mean, do you have anything else that you bring out? I'm just curious.
Well, I bring my husband and I bring two cameras.
Okay.
Have you ever experienced equipment failure where the camera wouldn't work?
No. Not that I know of. We just have two digitals because, mm-hmm. Well, I never get film developed.
Right, yeah.
No, I don't think anybody does anymore. Yeah. I think we all gave up on that a while ago.
Because there's been oftentimes we've gone into cemeteries or haunted locations and things like that, and suddenly there's no power to our cameras. And then, you know, after you leave, you know, and you're driving away, suddenly the flash goes off because then it gets power again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've experienced these power failures. You might want to watch for that because it happens.
It does happen. It's happened to all of our equipment at one time or another where it would just shut down for no reason.
I wouldn't be surprised if it hasn't happened to me and I just think it's the camera screwing up, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it seems like, except for I happen to have been, you know, reading through the ghost hunting kind of websites.
Yeah.
And one of them said, oh, don't be, you know, when it's, you know, you're going to have some equipment failure eventually. And sure enough, and then I'm like, hey, wait, this camera has always worked before. And then as you're driving away, it works again.
It's strange. Yeah, I'm sort of short attention span theater, and everything I see sets off ideas for fiction. So I'm sort of half jotting ideas down. I really ought to get a tape recorder, I guess. And then I could get voices, too.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I'm really working on EVPs. I want to get some EVPs. Because look at what I do. I do, like, a radio show.
Yeah.
And here I am taking a bunch of pictures. It's the two opposite medias.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I want to do EVPs, the electronic voice phenomena, and stuff like that, and see what people are saying on the other side. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, you have a recorder, don't you, Doug?
I have the analog recorder.
Yeah, you have an analog recorder. I have the digital.
You have the digital recorder.
That I paid way too much for.
Well, the price has come down.
That same recorder is like $40 now that I paid $100 for a year and a half ago.
Well, that's the, you know, miniaturization and all that stuff. So, yeah, you can't it away from that.
But that's an excellent recorder, though. If you're thinking about going in and picking up a type of recorder camera, I highly suggest, I mean, because I'm a total tech head, and I like playing with audio. I mess with audio toys left and right in the software, you name it. The particular one I picked up, has a USB mount on the end of it. So you just upload all your audio, whatever audio you capture, you just upload it into your PC, and then you can pump it through whatever type of audio editing software you have, and you can actually analyze it that way, where I tend to stretch the audio to see if there's any type of hidden message within that. Because, like, some things I've heard, I've recorded, it sounded like they were saying something. Like, me and Doug have it. There's an actual source of debate on this show when we were at Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio last summer. Then this is crystal clear audio, too. That was off your camcorder, wasn't it, Doug?
Yeah.
That was off his camcorder, so it's a crystal clear piece of audio. And we hear, as we're walking down a corridor to go to the solitary confinement ward, we hear a voice in the background. And, of course, it's Doug and Scott L., our story against the rest of the world's story, but no one was standing there with us.
There was nobody with us.
And we hear a voice in the background. Now, I hear the voice saying, cheers.
Cheers.
Like, it's only an old man thing. Cheers.
Toasting
like,
us.
You know,
yeah.
Like you go down to like the urban area and like those cheap little bars and there's those old guys with a permanent whiskey face on there all the time.
So much better than get out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That would have been classic.
Cheers to your blood.
maybe that was the rest of it. Now, you had something different out of that, though, didn't you?
Well, I couldn't understand it completely. I'm reserving judgment. But that is what it does sound like, cheers as well.
Wait a minute. Now, we've been arguing about this.
But it's hard to know things like that. Yeah. It's the same thing as people see faces in photographs or pictures, you know, and every mammal sees faces. It's in our programming. It's, you know, part of our survival skill. So it's natural to see faces. I have one picture from the hotel I just did. We took about 300 pictures at the hotel, and maybe four or five of them are interesting, and two are very interesting. And a professional friend couldn't figure out what was going on with the pictures. But one of them actually looks like it has a face floating in it, and I think it's purely coincidental. But it And then when you blow it up, it looks like a cat face. And I think, oh, that's kind of cute.
Well, we've taken lots of pictures like that where you get some type of mist in the picture that wasn't there.
Yeah, I got two mist pictures, and one of them has an orb that is definitely not a camera goof.
Yeah.
And all sorts of weird stuff in the picture, and the pictures all around it that were taken at the same time are just fine.
Yeah, and those are what I look for, because I look for the anomalous things, the things that are kind of unexplainable, and you're like, the pictures before, the pictures after, they all, you expected those pictures, and you don't expect a certain picture to have this anomaly in it.
No, and do you ever notice that if you actually see it with your eyes, it doesn't come out on film or digital?
And vice versa.
Yeah.
If you don't see it with your eyes, and then later you look at this picture and you go, wait a minute, there was nothing there. I was taking a picture of a plant or whatever, and there's something. It's really bizarre. So it's really interesting to find those anomalies in pictures.
I know, but do you think, just your opinion, Tamara, I know we're talking about, you see faces. Like if you shoot a picture and you get some type of weird mist in the picture and you see faces, do you think that may just be a coincidence, or do you think that, hey, this may be something anomalous we're looking at right now?
I think anything's possible, but I tend to hang toward the idea that it just happens to look like a face because my brain is wired to see a face.
Yeah.
Everybody else is.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's the, I see Elvis in the tree bark kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because your brain, when you take your input, you bring your input in through your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and, mm-hmm. and the skin. And so you get your visual input through your eyes. Your brain's got to figure out how to organize that into something that you will understand.
Yeah, something that you can recognize.
The face is the most instinctive thing there is for a baby of any species.
Oh, because the mom's face kind of thing.
Yep.
It's one of the first things you actually see, because when you're born, you can't see very far.
No.
Oh.
So then when the mom's holding you the very first time, the first thing that you really see with any, recognizability is your mom's face.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, well, better than the backseat of a car or something, but...
Never know.
Well, a taxi, going to the... All right. I'm not in the gutter, not yet. That's
We're getting there. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're working on that.
I know, that's one thing that we've talked about a lot on this show, is trying to separate fantasy from reality, so to say, where I know I consider it very important when we go out in the field and do this sort of thing to always keep our senses about us. Look, if you're walking around an old house, I personally believe that if it's an old house and it hasn't been taken very good care of, that certain things are going to fall down, maybe, or you're going to hear little creaks in the foundation. I don't attribute that to being anything really paranormal, honestly. It could be.
It could be, if you get the footsteps walking up and down the hall at night.
That's
something then.
That's something definitely that you're going to want to take notice to. But if a piece of, paint falls off the wall,
that's been
off for the last 20,000 years.
It's not usually because a ghost pushed it off the wall.
And that applies right to a picture, too, like we said. I mean, who knows for sure? We can't. Verify anything on this show. We've been doing this for over a year, and we can't verify anything.
I was such a scary kid that I never expected anybody to believe anything. I was always hearing noises and all that. I was spooky. and when after I was married, we moved into a nice house. Our son was an infant, and I didn't tell my husband because things didn't frighten me, but there were all these little poltergeisty events, the toothbrushes would hop out of the holders on their own, newspaper would jump out of the basket, things like that. And I saw a Kleenex box slide across the nightstand. I didn't tell him. It didn't scare me, and it was nutty, and he'd never, seen me when I was a kid when I was afraid of everything, so
yeah.
It didn't occur to me. Then one day we were sitting in the kitchen having sandwiches, and we were facing the center of the kitchen, and there was a full trash can sitting there waiting to be taken out, and we saw it rise off the ground, maybe an inch or 2 inches, hover probably for a second or two, seemed longer, and drop, and we did the movie take. We looked at each other and said, did you see that? That was the first absolute thing. I know I saw the toothbrushes and the Kleenex and all that, but that was the first time he'd seen something with me, and it's just, oh, what a thrill.
Oh, man. Was he scared then, or was he more like, I've got to be on candid camera? Or
he both thought there was something in the gravity.
Oh, always explaining things.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't scary, and after that it did start to feel scary when I was alone there, but the owners wanted it back, so we moved out not too long afterwards. And
oh, man.
Then we moved it straight into another one that was a peculiar house, but it didn't act up until we decided to move out of it because we didn't like the neighborhood. And then we had a full, we were there alone. It was, I guess that was actually a couple of years later. And we went to move out. My husband went to go get the moving van, and our cats and our child were at my mother's. And I was all alone, and I heard my husband leave, and then I heard the front door open, and I heard heavy footsteps, and I yelled out to him thinking he'd come back, and he didn't answer, and the footsteps were coming down the hall, louder and louder, and angry sounding, not like him. And I got a broom and a shirt and a gun, get the out of here and all that stuff. And then it just went silent. So I took my broom and my pants and my shirt and went down the hallway to the front door, and there was nothing there, but I heard these footsteps start up again in this area where the living room, dining room, kitchen was, where I couldn't see. And I was near the front door at the mouth of the hall to all the bedrooms, and these footsteps just whooshed right past me. And
oh,
it scared the tar out of me. It was the only time I ever felt anything I'd call, almost use the word evil. That's how nasty it felt. And I went outside and waited for my husband, and he came back, thought I was making a joke, and later on it yanked on him, literally. And we got out of there, and the next day he went back to meet the landlord and give him the keys. And I got scared off because the same thing happened to him with the footsteps. And this was nasty. Turned out later that someone had lived there, a man who had a brain tumor, who had driven his family out by getting violent, you know, from the illness. And so that got me interested in hauntings, that the tape loop or whatever you want to call it starts up.
Residual hauntings?
Yeah, that's residual.
It's a residual haunting, yeah.
Yeah, the moving out started the tape, the residual. Yeah, so it was not a nice place. The house never felt comfortable. I've never felt anything nasty before or since.
Oh, wow. Tell you what, Taylor, we got to take a quick break, okay? We're gonna hang back though. We're gonna hang out with you, all right? But for our listening audience, you can't hear any of it.
No, we're gonna get to talk to Tamara by ourselves.
All right, we'll be right back in a couple of minutes.